It's just not in a rush, Lisa. It's not because yesterday's schedule was massé, all about travelling. I was thinking more about the fact that it's the holiday season, so we're getting to talk about car travel. One fellow once came up to his rabbi after buying a posh Italian sports car and said, "Rabbi, do I have to put mezuzah on a Lamborghini?" And the rabbi says, "Well, what's a Lamborghini?" Then he went to the Reform rabbi and he said, "Do I have to put mezuzah on a Lamborghini?" And he answered, "What's a mezuzah?" Gershon just mentioned to me about the question of mezuzah, and it seems a bit odd and showing off when people start putting a mezuzah on their car, but it is a halakhic question. Why don't we put mezuzahs on our cars? After all, if we spend all that money on personalised number plates, and the simple answer is it's not a diroh, it's not something which one lives in. I know there are some people who do live in their cars, they eat in them and they sleep in them, but cars are designed for travelling, and one does not put a mezuzah on a car. In the case of a person who does travel a lot and sleeps and eats in the car, nevertheless it's still called arai. It's not really a place where you're living. But there is an interesting question which is posed in the question of caravans or garages. A caravan, you do in a way live in it, because it's like a residence in some form, even though it's a travelling one, and you eat in it and you sleep in it. And this question is asked by the Shalos Tshuvos Shrago Hameir, Chelek Gimel, and he refers to Yeradeo Reish Pei Vov Sifyud Aleph, which talks about a houseboat. If you have a residence on a ship, does it require a mezuzah? And there, the Shulchan Aruch paskens, posel, you don't need a mezuzah on it. And he brings us from Rambam in Perek Novel, because mezuzah alachates. What is the idea there? It says a proper diroh, and it's not just the diras arai, there are people who actually live in houseboats. But he writes that a mezuzah is something which you fix to a house, which is mechubah la'aretz, which is fixed to the ground. And a boat, a safina, lo mikri kavua le'duchto, it hasn't got a fixed place. Even those houseboats which are moored for long-term periods, that's not called kavua le'duchto. So the Betzel HaChochma writes in Chelek Gimel Simon Pei Tes, even if one lives in a houseboat, he's very doubtful whether it should have a mezuzah, certainly no mezuzah with a bracha, because he says it's not mechubah lakarka, it's not fixed to the ground. And so therefore he says a caravan is just compared like the houseboat. It's not fixed to the ground. However, there are people who for most of the year they leave their caravans in their front gardens or back gardens, detrimental to the visual amenity of the neighbourhood, and they don't have their wheels on them. And they might be putting up spare guests in their caravan, and they'll be putting their gardening tools in their caravan, and they're using that caravan the whole year round. And in those circumstances, it does require a mezuzah, because then it's fixed to the ground, and it's just like the spare bedroom in the house, and therefore it would be chayav mezuzah. I was asked just before this year started by Rebellion about, if we're going to talk about car travel, may I drive a car at all? And in fact, this is a question I once asked to my Rosh Yeshiva, Avner Schlesinger Shlita, when the statistics of car accidents were really bad at one stage in Israel, and it was standard that two people were dying every single day, and unfortunately the high accident rate is still prevalent in Israel. So I was saying to him, you know, halakhically, am I allowed to drive or ride in a car, if we know that statistically two people are dying every day? And he answered me with an interesting question. He said, well, if two people out of four get divorced, are you allowed to get married? obviously you can get married, and he said, of course you can ride in a car. And the bottom line is that there is a Tosafos which says, and we've discussed this once before, that if most of the population take upon themselves a risk, which is not regarded as a big risk, then as it's something which is accepted by the Rome, then it's not called something which is dangerous in halacha, and one may go in for that. when they do such a thing. And the example given by some modern poskim is like, may I take an anaesthetic for a non-urgent operation? It's something which people accept upon themselves as something which is acceptable, even though there may be a slight risk. One can do it. Riding in an airplane is another example. So la halacha, there's no problem. Now, when you buy your car, do you say shechiyonu on it? I mean, you get great delight when you buy a car. And when you buy new clothing, it says that at the time you buy your clothing, because you've got great happiness from the fact that you've bought your car, sorry, your clothing, then you say shechiyonu. So therefore, as you're going to get even more happiness when you buy your car, maybe you should say shechiyonu. And the Gemara Brachos and the Dala talks about kelim chadoshim. When you buy kelim chadoshim, you make shechiyonu. And the Magen Avraham in Reish Kafei Gimel, Sifkon Hei, talks about that you make such a bracha on kelim chadoshim, even though some people might say, well, we're not knowing nowadays, when it says buy chadosh, a new house, you make a shechiyonu. But even if people don't practice it nowadays, that might not necessarily mean that you don't do it. It might just be maybe ignorance. And if it's not just clothes, I mean, what about a dishwasher? If it gives you or your wife happiness, maybe one should say shechiyonu. And if it gives yourself happiness and other people happiness as well, maybe you should say hatova hamesiv. The Shutzruva Bosefraim and Chayek Aleph Shim Ein Hei, he quotes Reb Moshe Feinstein, who says, yes, if the car is bought the Shein Tanug, which is a difference than if it's bought for business purposes. If it's bought for business purposes, he's already mesupik whether you say shechiyonu. But if you buy it for a tanug, for your family, social, domestic, pleasure purposes, as the insurance policies would say, then you do make shechiyonu. However, Rav Batzalel Stern, the Be'er Moshe, was not so keen on this. He said that most people, when they buy their cars, have borrowed a lot of money in order to pay for that car, and therefore, since they are still owing a lot of money and they're worried they might not be able to pay it all back, it's doubtful whether you say shechiyonu or when you buy your car. Rabbi Kluver Paskin, you do. Oh, I'll tell you about Mason. Oh, thank you. Yeah, very interesting. Other people benefit as well. You're giving lifts to people and doing mitzvahs with it.
Is it because we have particular honor from the first car? He said, if you've got particular pleasure, it's the very first car we bought.
First car, but even if it's subsequent cars and it's written, even if they are second hand cars, but you get a lot of joy out of it because most cars bought are not brand new, you still say shechiyonu, because there are certain things you don't say shechiyonu over when you buy. You don't say over new shoes. Alright, this talks about leather and it came from an animal. When we have a bris milah, we don't say shechiyonu. Why don't we say shechiyonu? Because tzali nuka, because the child may have suffered some pain, so we don't say shechiyonu. So you might say that cars might cause certain people to suffer pain. You know, some people call a car a klei mashchis, but that is not brought down with any reliable source. So when you go out on your travels, you are on holiday, and you discover that it's time to eat, and you haven't got water to wash your hands for your bread, what do you do? So the halacha is very clear about this. The halacha says, well, if you haven't got water on you, then you really have to travel for another full meal, a meal is about 1 kilometer, in order to get your water to wash your hands. Or you have to go back 1 kilometer. But the phrase used in certain parts of Halacha is k'day hiluch dalad meal. And it's the same by tefillah. If you can daven with a minyan and you've got a shul 4 mil ahead of you or 1 behind you, then you should daven with a minyan. So do we say that the din with a car is simply 1 kilometer and 4 kilometers forward, 1 backwards? Or do we say k'day hiluch dalad mil means the time it takes you, whereas if it takes 18 minutes to walk 1 kilometer, then maybe the halacha should be that it's 18 minutes drive. And therefore, if you're talking about 4 mil when you go forwards and 1 when you go backwards, it's 72 minutes drive when you go forward and 18 minutes drive when you go back. And therefore it seems that the halacha is that you will have to adjust the time according to your speed in the car, without of course being offensive in your speed limits and risking any flashes from a Gatso camera. then therefore if you are able to reach a minyan or to reach water within 72 minutes drive, then you have to carry on until you can get that water for Natilas Yodayim or for your tefillah b'tzibur. If you have a choice, you don't live very far from your shul, and you have a choice whether to walk or to take the car. I mean, let's say you live in Tenderden Drive, which is not very far from your Mokum Tefillah. Which is better? The question is actually brought down in the Shutz Tzitz Eliezer in Yud Beis Simen Yud Zayin. He says, what is better? Do we say that by bringing a car to shul, you'll be earlier in shul, and therefore you'll daven better because you are earlier in shul? Or do we say no, that by walking to shul, you're going to get a better schar halicha for every footstep that you make? You are actually getting another mitzvah. And it's written, mitzvah larutz the beis haknesses. It's a mitzvah to run to shul. All right, in front of goyim, one doesn't run, but one walks behiros with more rush to show you the zerizos in the mitzvah. So he paskens, provided you'll be early enough in shul, that you should rather walk to shul. Because then you're getting your mitzvah schar licha. There's no schar licha by taking the car. Sorry, tough. And he makes mention of mitzvah larutz the beis haknesses, that one should really run to shul. And he says the reason is because you should have a cheshek. When you're going to shul, you should have that enthusiasm that you're coming to serve your Creator. So his maskana is, well, if you do go by car, don't park right outside, so that at least if you park some distance away, you're still walking to shul, or you could still run to your shul.
Morning. Morning.
Tfilas HaDerech. We have touched on this subject a bit in the past, so we're not going to spend too much time over it. But one aspect which I don't think we ever did discuss was the fact that you do find some modern texts which seem to change the traditional text which you get in the Siddur. And some of these modern texts talk about the travelling on the aeroplane or whatever it is. Is it right that this text is changed? Or do we say tradition holds fast and we keep to the original text as handed down to us? I know that in the context of certain other tefillahs, Rabbi Cooper always said, keep to the tradition handed down to us. Yesterday was Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, and if you look carefully in the text of Atayat Sarato, there's a phrase, a very long phrase, which the modern Siddurim don't seem to have, and that's, Kachenu b'mitzvosecha v'senchalkenu b'sarosecha saba'enu b'tzevecha v'samchenu b'shorosecha v'tayel ibeinu d'avdecha v'mes v'nchilinu Hashem l'keinu b'ava v'rosan shabbas kachecha g'onu chubay shvam v'kachay shvecha. That's not a short phrase. If you look in Yatsa Yatsarta, in most Siddurim, it's not there. The Nusachari Siddur has it, a lot of Tzfadi Siddurim have it. So why don't we have it? And the Aruch HaShulchan says you should say it. It's a mistake, it's a printing error. You should say it. And I once asked Rabbi Cooper about this, and he said, we don't change what's handed down to us. It's gaiva, it's big-headedness. Maybe there was a reason why it's not there. And even if there is no reason, it's not for us to start chopping and changing. We don't change it. I have noticed that there is a certain recently published siddur called Beis Chodosh, which actually has it at the bottom of the page, or Yesh Omrim Nusach Zeh. Whatever it is, it's nice not to change, to have respect for our predecessors. But this question is actually brought down in a number of poskim, whether you may change the Tfilas HaDerech to take into account modern travelling conditions. And quite surprisingly, the answer is yes. And the reason for that is, it's because Tfilas HaDerech is not a typical brocha. It doesn't start with Baruch. It does end with Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei HaTefillah, but it doesn't start with Baruch. And the Torah makes this point in Siman Kuf Yud, that Tefillah Sederech does not start with a Baruch, because it's only a Tefillah, he says, Eino Elo Tefillah Ba'almo. So it's not a Brocha like Birchas Hanenin or Birchas HaShvach, where you're either getting Hanol from something you eat, or Shvach, where you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that kind of Brocha. It's a Brocha which is a Tefillah. And as it's a bracha with a tefillah, then you might be able to change it. So the Ravya writes this in Brachas Pevov, that as long as you start with the same words and you end with the same words, you may vary what's inside it. And this is alluded to in the Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchas Brachas, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hei. And the Tashbat made a point that this should be a brocha smucha l'chaveritzo. It's a good idea when you say something like Tfilas Aderech that you make it next to another brocha which did start with a boruch. So he had the principle of the bracha of Gomel Chasodim Tovim Le'amo Yisrael in the Brichas HaShachin Shachris, which then carries on with Yehi Rotso, that I shouldn't meet up with anything troublesome in my day, with the Yetzer and other things. And then he followed that up with the Tfilas Haderech. Ah, that was not yet when he was travelling. So he would say that just before he set out for travelling. And there is a view which is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, that one should say one's Tfilas Haderech in the Shema Koleinu, in the immediately preceding Shemona Esra before you travel, which also ends with the words Shomea Tefillah, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. So you say there in the little space in Shema Koleinu where we usually say other things like Aneinu on a fast day, or Tefillahs about Parnosa, which you get in the Siddur, and other Tefillahs, that one can stick in that point the Tefillahs HaDerech, and you've got the same Brocha ending off Shomea Tefillah. And according to that view, one can say Tfilas Haderech again without the bracha. One just says Baruch Atosh around Tfilah when one is actually travelling. And that I was taught to do by Rav Shimon Weiser Shlisa. Now, if we then vary the text, you can therefore add in certain other phrases, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, you can add in the phrase, "Batatzileinu mitu'nos derochim," please save me from any road accidents. Or what about if you're travelling in a risky area like the West Bank where there might be landmines or terrorists around, so you could say Vatatzileinu mimechablim u'mokshim, mokshim are mines. Or if you're worried about road rage, somebody coming along and hitting you, well, I don't know, what would road rage be in Hebrew? Kas shel nahagim? I don't know. However, Rav Kanievsky, he said it's not correct to vary the text. He prefers to rely on the fact that in the Tfilas HaDerech there is a phrase, V'chol minei peronios. And V'chol minei peronios is a generalized term from all problems that can happen on the road, and therefore it's good enough. You don't have to vary the text. However, if you are only on short trips, normally Tfilas HaDerech would be for long trips, but if you're only on a short trip, which is a dangerous area, then you will say Tfilas HaDerech as well. I heard once B'Shem the Briskerov, I'm not sure if he said it as a joke, but he said, from New York to Tel Aviv you don't need Tfilas HaDerech, but from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem you do. Now, do you have to stop for Tfilas HaDerech, or can you say it while you're driving? Well, certainly if you're the driver yourself, you're not going to be concentrating very well when you're looking out for speed cameras and you're looking out for police and so on. Yeah, now one person could be yotzi another person. Yes, so a passenger could say it to the driver. But ideally, l'chachila, and the Gemara in Brochas Daf Lama talks about this, ideally one should stop for Tfilas HaDerech and one should be standing for it. And so one would stop the car in a place where you are able to stop safely. But if there is a danger, and of course on a motorway you can't stop, then one of the passengers can say it and the driver will be yotzi from that. Now, when do you actually say Tfilas HaDerech? Shulchan Aruch and other posts can talk about you first go a little bit outside the town, like one parasot, which is a couple of miles, or the Ramos says 8,000 amos, before you actually say it. Now, the reason for that is because, well, you might, and therefore it's not a proper derech. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, nowadays, let's say you're on an aeroplane, you'll say it straight away. Once you're on the plane, you say it. You don't wait till you're a certain distance out. There are a number of reasons for this. First of all, because you're travelling much faster than you would have in former times, by the time you've set off, you're outside this parasol already. And that's not necessarily just an aeroplane, but it could be a car as well. You're very quickly outside the radius. So the Rosh HaShulchan says this as well in Siman Kuf Yud Sif Gimel, you'll say it straight away. Why? Because originally Tfilas HaDerech might have been when you are going walking or maybe just on a slow horse or you're out in a field. And so therefore it takes time till you've stretched out to this first parasol. But nowadays, because you're in a car, you're not so likely to go back again once you've started off. Once you get down to Staples Corner on the M1, you say it straight away. And that's the generally held view. I'd like to move on to another aspect of car travel, which is very halacha l'maisa, and that is travelling on Fridays, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. And one person here is smiling at me because I told him a story about once when I was on a trip to his favourite town of Manchester. We won't call it Ir HaKodesh. And my family was once there already, and I was going to go to them for Shabbos. And it was in the winter where Shabbos was coming at about 4:15, 4:30. So I thought to myself, if I double the amount of time it takes, if it normally takes me 3 hours, I'll allow 6 hours. If I allow 6 hours, that will give plenty of time. So was I doing the wrong thing, or was I doing the right thing? Well, let me first tell you what happened. I set off then at 10 o'clock in the morning, thinking, oh, I've got loads of time, I'll be there by 1 o'clock. And there was loads of traffic everywhere. I mean, whichever way I turned, just lots and lots of traffic. And not just 5 miles an hour. It was mummish standing still in a lot of places. And I began to realise, when I got to Birmingham area, that I was probably not going to make it. And that was before mobile phones, so I stopped off at a phone box, and I told my wife, listen, I don't think I'm going to make it. I might have to stop off in a hotel, and don't worry about me. I've got food in the car. You know, you should always take wine and chalas with you. But I carried on thinking, well, I've still got time, and then I went up the M6, and then I thought, well, I'll go on an A road, because on a motorway you can't stop if it gets near Shabbos. On an A road you can find some turning, and you can park the car, and then find somewhere to stay. And I took it upon myself, okay, I already had in mind which areas there are villages and there are hotels I might be able to stop. But as time grew on, the traffic got less and less and lighter, well, maybe I'll make it. So I inched as near as I could towards Manchester, but in a way that I could stop if necessary. And I managed to get into the most outer precincts of the southwest part of Manchester, and it was 10 to 15 minutes before the quoted Zaman. It was about 4 o'clock. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll find a residential side street where I can park the car, and it looks secure, and it's not in an isolated space where it could get stolen. And I worked myself out from there. And so I was in the suburb, I think it was called Sale, and there I found a little side street, parked the car, emptied my pockets, made a Shabbos belt out of the key. We'll discuss the subject of Muksa in a moment. And I thought, right, I left the car, locked it up, I put my talis on underneath my, and I put my pyjamas on, so I got something to wear during the night, underneath my clothes, and I had a raincoat, and I locked the car, made my Shabbos belt, made sure my pockets were empty, and I said, right, I'm a couple Shabbos. And it was about 4:10, time to spare, Shkia wasn't till 4:30, but I thought, right, that's it. And I started walking, and I met a fellow in the street, and I said, excuse me please, could you tell me the way to Prestwich? And he said, oh, you've got to take the bus. Anyway, I followed the road signs to the town centre, and after four and a half hours, I managed to get to Prestwich, and I knocked on the door, and they were just benching. And Baruch Hashem, I made it. But it was a bit stupid, wasn't it? But nobody can say it will never happen to me. So the halacha is this. What is my duty on Erev Shabbos? Am I allowed to travel at all on Erev Shabbos? The Gemara in Sukkah Mendalet says, Aliyah Halech Odom Ba'arve Shabbosos Yosef Megimel Pasos. A person should not go more than Gimel Pasos, which is about 12 kilometers on Erev Shabbos. And Rashi there says, Elo Yishbo Slope Od Hayom Gadol, one should at least rest while the day is still functioning, but Od Hayom Gadol, which means like an hour before Shabbos comes in, the Yochin Lo Seudas Shabbos, that he may prepare his meals for Shabbos. So the various Rishonim talk about this business about meals, because it implies that you haven't got your food ready for Shabbos, or that the people to whom you are going don't know that you're arriving, and when you arrive late they'll start preparing food for you, and they might be mechalal Shabbos as a result. So the Rosh and the Rif agree on this business, that this might relate to food preparation, and the Rambam writes that this will embarrass the hosts who haven't yet prepared food for you. Which means, mitzat svara, that if they know that you're coming and they have prepared food for you, then there isn't such a problem because the food is prepared. So there the issue is not so much that you might be delayed on the way, but that if you arrive close to Shabbos, there might be an inyan of chilul Shabbos as a result of subsequent food preparation which takes place. So the Shulchan Aruch HaTorah writes in Resh Mem Tes Aleph that if the people know that you're coming, then it's okay. Then you can travel more than Gimel Parsois. And the Baal HaGudra writes in Sukkah, he says, nowadays people prepare lots of food anyway, so people are not so worried about it that the Shabbos might be broken as a result of food being cooked, because nowadays people prepare so much with the gefilte fish and the chopped liver and the chulent and the kigel, there'll always be something for you to eat. The Jerusha writes in Oseh Beis that if you take food with you, then you can go more than Gimel Parsois, because at least if you've got your wine and your chalas with you, then okay, wherever you stop, you stop. And the Beis Chodosh writes, the way it says, Al Yahalech Odom Barmi Shabbos, he says that's talking about walking. Al Yahalech, it doesn't say Al, not Linsoa. Lahalech means walking. So what if you can travel faster with a horse, or of course a car? But then he says, Mikol Mokum Tzorich Lezai, a person should be careful, Ki Harbe Pa'omim Shenichsholin Shemachalalin Shabbos. Because many times it happens that some incident can happen on the highways and one will end up being Mechalal Shabbos. So you have to do everything you can to make sure that you're not late. I have a brother-in-law who was once got stuck on a motorway on Erev Shabbos and it was really bad. So what he did was something very daring. He started driving on the hard shoulder. Actually, he's a doctor, so he could have got away with it, but the police caught up with him and stopped him. And he said, look, it's my Shabbos coming in, my religious Sabbath, and I really got to get home. And you know what they did? They accompanied him on the hard shoulder with flashing blue lights to enable him to get back. But beware, not everybody would be so lucky with the way the police are nowadays. So I know of a case where there were three young men in a car driving to a place in the countryside, to a summer camp, and they had with them a young lady as well, and they were going to this place for Shabbos, and they were delayed on a Friday afternoon, and it was getting close towards Shabbos. And the question faced them, what do they do? And the fellow who was driving was worried because he thought, well, you know, there is a girl in the car and it's going to be a bit awkward spending Shabbos in a car, us three guys with a girl. And he was inclined to try and carry on and on, thinking, well, I'll rely on this heter and that heter. And so the question was raised with a Rav afterwards as to what should have been done or what should be done in such circumstances. And this Rav said, well, there wasn't any yichud. If three guys are alone with a woman in a car, that is not yichud. If there's one man alone with a woman in a car, that's a problem. If there are three alone in a car and they get stuck somewhere for Shabbos, they can spend their Shabbos in a field. Awkward that that might sound, that there isn't a yichud there. And then, if the car is stuck somewhere for Shabbos, is the car muktzeh? Can you stay in it for Shabbos? All you need to do is to disconnect the light, that it doesn't come on when you open and close the door, and you make the car into your house. The car is not muktzeh. There are poskim who write about, well, in any case, when you open and close the car door, it's not the whole muktzeh. You're not moving the whole car, you're only moving the car door. And there's something written in Halacha about if you've got dirt on your face, you can wipe it with a horse tail because you're not moving the horse, you're only moving part of it. That's already getting longish. The bottom line is that a car is either a klisha malachta l'isur, it's something which is to do something forbidden with, namely driving, or it could be a klisha malachta l'heta, something to live inside. And if the door opens and closes and the light is not coming on, then you can go in there on Shabbos and go out of it on Shabbos. And you can eat in it, and you can sleep in it, and there's no problem. And the car key, even if it's an electronic car key, but it can open the door manually, there's no reason to suggest that it should be muktzeh, because anything which is a kli shemalachta l'isur, a utensil which has a forbidden element for usage, you can move on Shabbos l'tzuch gufo mekomo, if it's needed for a particular purpose or place, which is something which is allowed. For example, a hammer can be used on Shabbos if it's to crack nuts. Or scissors can be used on Shabbos if it's to cut grapes. All right, the Mishnah Berurah says it's preferable that you use something else. But if you've got nothing else, then you can take a hammer for your nuts and you can take a scissors for your grapes. And in the same way, your car key can open and close the car in a manner which is permitted and there's no electrical aspect to it, so you can do that on Shabbos. Of course then, if there is one man and one woman alone, it's a problem. But that raises the issue whether they should have been travelling together in the first place, because if they are travelling a long distance together, there's a question of yichud there. Certainly one should make all precautions to make sure that these incidents do not happen, if they do happen. And if in the end one is stuck, then one has to use one's initiative and make sure that there is no yichud. So the Magen Avraham says that one should arrive ba'od hayom gadol, and poskim say at least 1 hour before Shabbos. And in fact, if you're travelling with a taxi, you should allow the driver time to get home before Shabbos, that he is not actually going out of his way for you, and then he'll be ending up driving on Shabbos. Now, there's an interesting shaila which happened once with Reb Moshe Feinstein, who, after his wife had lit the Shabbos lights, he was given a lift to the yeshiva to daven on for Mincha and Kabbalah Shabbos. And somebody came up to him, not realizing that he was Reb Moshe Feinstein, and he was coming after the Zaman. So the Zaman was in the Luach. Shkia was 4:32. So it was 4:17. No, 4. In New York, the Luach there was showing that the Zaman 20 minutes before Shkia. Our Luchos show 15 minutes before Shkia. So let's say it said 4:17, as it would have in London. And so his light lit the Shabbos lights at 4:16. He then got in the car, and he was driven to the yeshiva for davening. So he arrived at 4:19, 4:20. So somebody came up to him without realizing that he was Reb Moshe Feinstein and said, "What are you doing? You're coming in a car on Shabbos. The Zaman has become the Zaman of Shabbos already. You can't come now to shul." So he said to the fellow, "I appreciate you raised this subject. I'll write a tshuva about it." And he writes a tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Sativov. And he says, "I greatly benefited from the fact that somebody was very keen to fulfill the mitzvah of Tochacha and to tell me off, and I appreciate it." He writes in a very nice, humorous, and humble way. Lefi dato, usashuas chein chein leman kvoda, and according to his opinion, and I give honor to the fellow, and chas v'shalom li lehakvid was there, that I should be particular about the fact that he told me off. I think he was quite right. So actually, in future, I've decided I will not travel anymore in future from the time of Hadlokas Haneiros, Bakar, Kuf Aleph Reish. But then he goes on to explain that there was no issur in what he was doing. And there wasn't even Marisuayin. And he explains why. He says Marisuayin is only when the thing that you're doing might indicate that you have done an issur. Like, for example, leaving out the washing to dry looks like you've actually done the washing on Shabbos. Or having workers in your house for kablonas, and it'll look like you've actually asked them to work for you on Shabbos. So there is an union of Marisayim. But here, what was being done wasn't related to any issur at all. Because although women accept Shabbos from the time of Hadlokas Haneiros, if a man arrives in shul, as long as there are still a few minutes to spare before Shkia, that he can accept upon himself Tosefes Shabbos, the mitzvah to add on, then there's no issue whatsoever. It hasn't got to be exactly 15 minutes. As long as still there are some few minutes left, the mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos applies. There's no issue. And people know, it's not a Marisayin, people know that women accept Shabbos at the time of Hadlokas Haneiros, and men accept Shabbos with some sort of Tosefes. It might be when they arrive in shul, once they put their books and things away in their shul seat. And therefore, he says there's no problem, and in that instance, Shkia was 4:32, and he told him off at 4:19, so there was still some good minutes left over, and therefore there was no issa whatsoever. However, people might feel it's a zilzal of Shabbos. People might feel it's not nice, it's insulting Shabbos. I mean, in this area where most shuls daven at around 7:30 odd in the summer, and there are certain chassidim who like to have a very late minyan at 8:30, 8:45, it's not nice when they're coming out of the mikveh, driving their cars, when people are already coming home from shul. It doesn't look nice. He says there could be a zilzal of Shabbos, and therefore, Yedidah HaMavorcha, I bless him, B'schus Mitzvah Satochocha, that he told me off so correctly, Shekan Lichvod Hashem Yisparach Lichavod Shabbos Kodesh, in honor of the Holy Shabbos, I give him lots of brachas for the Kiyum HaShemir Shav Shabbos. And he nevertheless says there was no issur b'davar. Just a few more points generally about car travel. Whenever you travel during the week, the Aruch HaShulchan says you should always take the tefillin with you when you go out of town, even if you're intending to come back. Take food with you, take the tefillin with you, take the siddur with you, take a sefer with you for learning. never say, oh, I'll be all right. Because although you can say, well, I'm going to a place, a holy place like Manchester, I can always borrow a pair of tefillin, the problem with borrowing is it can result in delays, and then you might miss Sosamon, Kirshma, Sosamon, Tefillah. The problem with borrowing tefillin is you've got to start messing around with a knot to make sure it fits you, because the tefillin have to be above your hairline. There are all these problems which can arise. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks about davening in a car. Of course, if you can't manage to daven outside your car because it's pouring with rain, the reverse of Prime says you can daven inside the car. And Rav Auerbach asks, what if you've got a choice between davening Maariv before midnight sitting in the car, or davening Maariv after midnight standing outside? He said it's better to daven Maariv before midnight sitting in the car. An interesting question about car is, can you make a car into a sukkah? Well, if you've got a sunroof, there's no reason why you can't turn a car into a sukkah, because it's at least 10 tefachim high, but sunroofs are usually not 7 by 7 tefachim. If it's 7 by 7 tefachim, which is the minimum shear for a sukkah, then you can cover your sunroof with schach, and even if the sunroof doesn't come right up to the edges of the car, there's a rule of dofen akuma, because we have halacha the Moshe Sinai that the wall is like extending up to 4 amos along the ceiling, because you can have part of the roof as schach and not the whole roof. Provided you're under the schach, you can make a car into a sukkah. If you can't get a big enough sunroof, then if you make a sukkah ramble on sukkahs, then you could open up your car door, if it doesn't slide, but it opens outwards, and then you can have already 2 walls of your sukkah, and you only need 2 and a bit walls for your sukkah. It won't blow down in a wind if you then make your sukkah that way. The question is, once you've made a sukkah, are you allowed to demolish it? Because you want to drive off, you've got to take the thing down. La halacha, you're not supposed to demolish a sukkah once you've built one. Obviously, if you make one with a car, you have to travel, you've got to take it down, but then the schach which you take down should then be put onto another sukkah afterwards, because it's got the kedusha already of a sukkah. Yes?
But if you
Well, when you when you have a roof cover to protect it from rain, you're not actually demolishing it. It's no longer a kosher sukkah, but you're not dismantling it. And the kedusha of the sukkah still remains, having been a sukkah from the beginning of sukkahs. So when you open the roof again, it continues that kedusha. It's not the same as actually taking it down. Very true. Just like Holchein borrows and the various kinds of professions are possible from the sukkah, so you could say when you're travelling you're possible from the sukkah, because it says Teshu Kain Tziduru, and you live in a sukkah like you live in the house. You're not living in your house when you're travelling, and therefore it's true you are, strictly speaking, potter from the sukkah. But that doesn't take away the joyous novelty of having the family on an outing when you make a sukkah. So perhaps the most important thing of all when you're travelling in a car, it says in the Shema, Uvelech Techov HaDerech, when you're travelling on the way you should be learning Torah. And nowadays there's so much available with CDs and tapes and iPods and so on, where you could be learning Torah while you're travelling, provided it doesn't distract you and it doesn't compromise on your safety. And it is in fact written in Gemara Tana Daf Yud, where you travel on the journey of Alech Techov HaDerech Lo Be'iyun, not learning intensively with, you know, with the Mefoshim and the Rashi and the Tosfos and the Rishonim and Acharonim. And this comes from the Pasuk Al Tirgazu Badorech, when Yosef HaTzadik said to his brothers, you know, don't get involved so much with your learning on the way. But it's a wonderful opportunity if you can play a CD or whatever as a revision for your Daf Yomi. These things are available, and it's certainly much better to the various weird bits of nonsense you might just be hearing on the radio, apart from JCOM Radio, of course. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
You opened up by talking about a mazzer on a car.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure you will agree with me, if you have an office or if you have a factory or if you have a warehouse, a place of work, you have a mazzer on that.
Yes, or a warehouse for that matter. You won't make a brocha,
no.
But you do put a mezuzah on an office or a warehouse.
Whether it's shared with a non-Jew, I think it's shared with a non-Jew. If you've got a room, you share it with a non-Jew at work.
There's no apparently no obligation.
There's no obligation. But even if it's your own office and it's not used by anyone else, you won't make a bracha because you're not living in it.
But there was a case recently where a man was prosecuted for smoking in his van because he said that this was his place of work, and they prosecuted him because he now states you're not allowed to smoke in your place of work. The question is, if you're a Jewish plumber or electrician or somebody that goes out and uses your van for business, would you then put a mezuzah on it?
Ah, but that has established that you may not smoke in your van because it's your place of work. But we've established that a mezuzah with a bracha does not be put on your place of work. It's on your residence, on a dira. And therefore, that will not alter the status of your van. There are other issues, like, is it the required measurements, like dalad al dalad, and so on. And the other thing which we mentioned was it's movable. And since it's something movable, like the house on the ship, and that's something you're living in, since it's movable and it's not fixed to the ground, you do not fix a mezuzah, certainly not with a bracha. So it wouldn't change the status, even if you are working from your van.
Thank you very much for giving us your
you now today are not allowed to smoke in your place of work. The question is, if you're a Jewish plumber or electrician or somebody that goes out and uses your van for business, would you then put a mezuzah on it?
Ah, but that has established that you may not smoke in your van because it's your place of work, but we've established that a mezuzah with a bracha does not be put on your place of work. It's on your residence, on a dira, and therefore that will not alter the status of your van. There are other issues, like, is it the required measurements, like dalad al dalad, and so on. And the other thing which we mentioned was it's movable, and since it's something movable, like the house on the ship, and that's something you're living in, since it's movable and it's not fixed to the ground, you do not fix a mezuzah, certainly not with a bracha. So it wouldn't change the status, even if you are working from your van.